Welcome to the Riverside Church Podcast. Riverside Church is a community of believers striving side by side for the gospel in the greater New Orleans area. For more information about Riverside Church, go to riversidelife.org.
And turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 if you haven't already. We'll be in several places this morning, but that's our key text this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Particularly what we're going to be looking at is verse 20 is what we will be unpacking. We're going to do a little two-week series on the promises of God as we've just come out of a series through Genesis. And so I hope you'll be here this week and next week as we look at the promises of God. Let me ask you a question as we get started this morning. I think of all of you have had something like this. Have you ever had one of those aha moments? One of those light bulb moments in your life? It may have been over something you were fixing, something you were working on. Let me tell you about one of my aha moments. This was years ago. My wife and kids were out of town for the weekend for something, probably visiting family in Mississippi or something. And our washing machine, the little pump in the washing machine, had become stuck. And so it just cycled water on and off constantly and would not shut off. And so I tried to do what any person would do. Instead of buying a new washing machine, I got underneath it. I took the pump off, found the diverters, found this little plastic thing that was stuck in it. Super proud of myself that I was able to do this, right? And so I put the pump back on the machine, and I've unclogged it. I've got it, what I think, at least unclogged at this point. I haven't turned it back on yet, by the way, not to bury the lead. But I put the pump back on. I hooked the water back up, and I hit go, and guess what happened? Water went all over the floor. And so I panicked, thinking I took pictures, I went through the process, I did all of the things, and I thought I had it right. So I get the shop vac out, I turn the shop vac on. I forgot I had just cleaned up my grill with the shop vac, so then I have charcoal dust everywhere, an absolute mess. And so I go to the kitchen sink where I had cleaned out this pump. I get down on the kitchen sink, I do one of these numbers like you've got to be kidding me. And there in the bottom of the sink was a little red gasket that if it were to be installed in that pump before you reassemble it, would prevent that pump from leaking. It was an aha moment. Like, that's what I was missing. It finally makes sense why this thing is. Have you had a moment like that before? I had a more serious aha moment, and this was when I was in seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. I had an aha moment, and these come from time to time as you're following the Lord, and I can tell you the classroom I was sitting in. I can tell you the chair I was probably sitting in, at least within one or two chairs. I can tell you the professor. I can tell you the course that I was taking. And the professor in the course of that lecture simply said this, that Jesus is God's great yes to the world. It was a missions class, by the way. And I didn't hear anything else that day. And all of a sudden, it was almost like the beauty of Christ just overwhelmed me. That all the promises of God, because there's a lot of promises that God has made, Old Testament, all of the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. And if this is true, then Jesus is God's great yes to the world. And it was one of those aha moments where I was able to see more clearly than I ever did, even though it wasn't the point of the lecture. It was just one of those moments where I saw the beauty of Christ, that Christ is the substance of all that God has promised. That is a beautiful reality, and that's what we're going to be looking at over the next 2 weeks. And I hope you'll have one of those aha moments where you say, man, Jesus is beautiful. And the sending of Christ was so beautiful, what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, Paul says, for every one of God's promises is yes in Jesus. Therefore, we utter our amen, our yes, back to God, to the glory of God. Let me give you some application up front. And here, by way of this, where would you expect to find a verse like this? Besides 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 that I just told you. You know where it's located. What would you expect the context of a verse like this to be? You know, if I'm just pulling this verse out of context and just talking about this verse individually, and someone had to say, hey, where would you find this? I could imagine it maybe being with Jesus on the road to Emmaus. You remember that story at the end of chapter, in the Luke? Some of his followers are like, what just happened? We thought he was the Messiah, but now he's dead. And they're trying to figure all of this out. And Jesus meets them along the way. And then he begins to unfold to them how all of the law and prophets were about him. And I would imagine this would be, if I'm thinking, maybe the verse is there. As Jesus is talking about the law and the prophets, how they all point to him, that Jesus looks at these disciples and says, by the way, all the promises of God are yes in me. Glorious. Or I can imagine this verse coming at the end of Galatians chapter 3. We talked about that a lot in Genesis. I reference it a lot at least. And it's talking about all the promises of God in Galatians chapter 3. You can look it up and how God made a promise to Abraham and he fulfilled that promise. And now we are heirs according to that promise. We are heirs by faith and you and I are children of Abraham and all because of what God has done for us in Christ. It's this classic Pauline theological discourse that he's going through. If you are Christ, you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Maybe I could find it there in one of these Pauline discourses. For all the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Well, we don't find that verse there. Here's where we find the verse, and here's where I think this is going to help with some application as we talk about the promises of God. While this verse makes sense in all of those contexts, and those contexts shed light on this verse, I don't know if you noticed when I read this verse, where do we find this truth? The context is pretty mundane. Paul's talking about travel plans. He's talking about travel plans. Paul has been accused by some other folks who are opposing him. He's going kind of through this difficult time. He's going through some persecution and he's being accused of being vacillating, going back and forth, being fickle in heart. You can read about that context earlier on in this passage. And what these folks are trying to say is, hey, look, Paul, you made all of these travel plans. You said you were going to do this and something changed with your plans. And they're trying to discredit his ministry and discredit him and said, is it yes or no, Paul? Can we trust your word or can we not? His opponents are saying his heart is divided towards the folks in Corinth. And you folks, you can't trust him. And so Paul begins to unpack for this, like, let me tell you about my travel plans. And let me tell you why I made the plans that I did. And let me tell you why maybe things changed along the way. Let me tell you why all this. And Paul says, look, it wasn't because I'm half-hearted. It wasn't because of my yeses or nos and you can't trust with what I say that, in fact, Paul says, all the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Here's what I want you to say. Here's what I want you to say. That Paul is attaching this glorious truth to a very ordinary situation. Travel plans. He's attaching to this ordinary situation, this most profound theological reality. So here's what Paul is doing. What drives my ethic is what he's saying. This is what drives my life, my words, my plans, my everything, even the travel plans, even his daily planner. Like even the entries that he makes on his Google calendar, his Skylight calendar, whatever he uses, like, hey, this is all going through the ethic that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. And you might be thinking, gee whiz, Paul. It's not that big of a deal. Your plans change. Lighten up a bit. We're talking about planning and you have a few critics who are saying that we can't trust you because of what happened. Here you go, Paul. You're talking about the Son of God, all the promises of God, finding their yes and amen in Jesus Christ. And through Christ, as we see in Christ, God is true to his word that it's always yes. He doesn't pull a quick one on us and change plans on us, and all of his promises that he's made all come to pass and all find their substance in Christ. And because of that, my word is true. Is that a little bit of overkill? Right? Like, come on. You're overthinking this, Paul. This ordinary thing is now connected to this glorious reality. But what if the application of the next 2 weeks could be something like this? That we are known to be a people. We're known to be a church. So God-obsessed, Bible-saturated, Spirit-filled, that we connect even our planning, even our travel plans, even the daily grind, even the most ordinary situations, the glorious realities that find their yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Paul is not just defending himself. He's inviting the Corinthians and us into this life of the promises of God, that through the promises of God, we're sustained in our affliction. We're overflowing in love for others, that surely as God is faithful, our word has not been yes and no, that our lives are built on the faithfulness of God to his promises. That's what my life is built on. The promises of God. Even the most mundane thing. So we don't just say, gee whiz. We say, wow. I can trust him. We can sum it up like this. The promises of God are yes in Jesus. And that yes transforms every moment of our lives into a glorious reality. That we are sustained by the promises of God. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that? Have you experienced that? Have you enjoyed that? Let's take a look this morning. What are some of these promises? Now, we're going to look at four Old Testament promises this morning. So you have the application, right? That these things can transform the ordinary. We're talking about four promises this morning. When we talk about the promises of the Old Testament, we have to understand something, at least up front. Let me take another moment to say this, that some of those promises, we see the promise made to Abraham, a promise made to Joshua, a promise that was made to David, and a promise that was made to exiles in Jeremiah chapter 29. Those are the four particular promises we're going to look at this morning. And we have to understand in the light of Christ that some of these promises have been transformed into more eternal and glorious realities, but don't make that think that somehow God was missing something in the Old Testament. Even the people in the Old Testament, Hebrews chapter 11, tells us that they died not having received the promise in full, since God had something better. And so this side of the cross and this side of the promise, where all the promises are yes in Christ, and we live on this side of history, that some of these promises have taken on a more eternal and fuller reality that those of the Old Testament were longing for. So don't miss that. And so we see that God meets sinners with promises. That's pretty wild. God meets us with promises. And if you really believe that, this will transform your life forever. Let's take a look at the promises. Are you ready? Here's one promise. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. Here's a promise that God made to Abraham. And this promise is yes in Christ. The Lord said to Abram, go from your land, your relatives, and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. Here's the first promise I want you to know this morning, that there's a promise from the Lord that he will bless you. And you live in that promise. Yes, in Christ, you are blessed. No matter what you walk through. Jesus really unfolds this for us quite beautifully in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 through 7, particularly in the Beatitudes. You remember what he says is, blessed are those, he says things like this, who mourn, for they shall be comforted. He's saying things like this, that even if you're mourning, you are living the good life because you are blessed in God who will comfort you. that he meets us and says, here is the good life, is to live under the blessing of God. So this is what it means to be blessed, to be living a life that you were meant to live and living a life that is good, even though on the outside sometimes it doesn't look good because of the blessing of God, the favor of God upon your life, because of the grace of God upon your life. No matter what you face, persecution, mourning, struggling, meekness, whatever your life might look like, you are blessed by God. So what is this blessing of Abraham? There's several things that he says. He says, I will give you a place. You will leave your land and go to another land that I will show you. There's this blessing of and this desire of a better country. Wasn't it Christ who says that we come to God through Christ? He is the door. He is the way. He is the place we meet with God. He even says, I go to prepare a place for you. He promises Abraham a place. He promises Abraham that I will make your name great, and your people, your family will be numerous like the stars. They'll come from all nations. This blessing, I will bless you by giving you a place, by making you a part of this forever family that will come from all nations. Do you know this morning that talk about transform the mundane, that you are part of a forever family from every tribe, tongue, and nation and land if you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? That's what you're a part of. That there's people all over this globe this morning worshiping, and you are part of the family. There are a people this morning that will inherit the earth, and you are part of that because you have received by faith the blessing of God. Wow. That's glorious. And he says, I'm going to give you a purpose that through you, all nations will be blessed. That's what you get to do every day. To bless this world because you know the promises of God. And he sends you out into that world to be a blessing to the nations. And he makes this church to be a blessing to the nations by pointing them to the glorious realities of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. Talk about blessed. You have a place. You're part of a people. You've been given a purpose. And by the way, this is all by faith. This is all grace. Romans 4:16 says this blessing of Abraham comes by faith, that it may come according to grace. Abraham was justified according to faith. He was made righteous according to faith. Did you know Ephesians chapter 1 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, the great yes to the world. So do you have a place? Yes. Do you have a purpose? Yes. Are you part of a people? Yes. Are you blessed? Yes. All because of Christ. That's pretty good. Talk about a promise that will transform even your travel plans. The ordinariness of your life. Yes, you are blessed with Jesus. There's another promise. Let's talk about this one for a moment. We're going to talk three more. God makes a promise to Joshua. He makes this promise, Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Let me just read it to you. Remember, Moses has died. Joshua is taking over. They're headed for the promised land. He says, be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to you, to their ancestors, to give them as an inheritance. Be strong and be very courageous. Verse 9, be strong and courageous. Why? Do not be afraid or discouraged. Why? Do you see this in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9? Here's the promise. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. I will be with you. The Lord is saying that just as I was with Moses in the wilderness, guiding him by a cloud by day and a fire by night, and then they had this physical representation of God, this physical presence of God in the Ark of the Covenant going before them as they headed into the promised land. Now God is saying, do not be afraid, Joshua, for I am with you wherever you go. The promise is yes in Christ. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was with God in the beginning. And then he dwelt among us. He tabernacled among us. God's presence among us. God in the flesh, in Christ. Am I with you? The great yes to the world is yes. John chapter 14, verse 20. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit to you and I. And he says this, I am in you. Christian. Paul goes on to say this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 as he unfolds this, that we are sealed with the Spirit. The very presence of God closer to you than the shirt on your back, indwelled with the Spirit. Behold, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit, sealed with the Spirit. Christian, God is with you wherever you go. He promised his people in the Old Testament that he would be with them. And now in this greater reality that his Spirit now indwells us. And one day looking to the future that all of this world will be filled with the glory of God. We'll experience his presence like never before as his presence fills this earth and his glory fills the earth as water covers the sea. I am with you always. Psalm 73. I hold you by your right hand. I guide you with counsel. And afterward, he will take us into glory. Do you believe that this morning? That you're blessed in all sorts of ways as we see these promises of Abraham find their yes and amen in Christ. Do you know this? Not just believe this. I hope you believe this and utter your yes back to him. But do you know this? That this promise of God to be with you wherever you go is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And behold, your Christ has said, I will never leave you or forsake you, even until the end of the age. Where has the Lord taken you over this last week, 2 weeks, years? Probably some glorious places, probably some dark places. But you can cling to the promises of God that he's never left you or forsaken you. Because he who promised is faithful. He's not facilitating. He's not fickle. It's not yes and no. I may or may not be with you. I love you. I love you not. Which one is it? It's yes. I'm with you wherever you go. There's some other promises, two more that I want to briefly look at this morning. We have this promise of the Lord that I will bless you. We have this promise that I will be with you. And in 2 Samuel chapter 7, we won't read all of that this morning, that we have this other promise that is given in the Old Testament. It's a promise of a kingdom. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, God meets David and he says to David that you will build a house for my name. This is 2 Samuel chapter 7 verses 12 and following. He says, from your body, David will become a descendant who will establish his kingdom. He will build a house for my name and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Here's the promise. There's a lot we could say here, but I just want you to focus here on the promise. It's a promise of a forever kingdom. That promise was made to the people of God. And that promise is yes and amen in Jesus Christ. A promise of a king that is coming. A mighty king, a wonderful king, a counselor, an everlasting God. A prince of peace, one in whom the government will be upon his shoulder. And Jesus says upon his arrival, behold, the kingdom of heaven is here. Behold your king, the king that you've waited for, a king that will build God's temple. He himself, Jesus says, my body is the temple of God and he will establish his kingdom forever. Behold, you have a king. That promise of an everlasting kingdom, for you to be part of an everlasting kingdom and to be under the rule and reign of an everlasting king, Christian, as you make your daily calendar, is yes and amen in Jesus Christ. His kingdom is here and now and is being spread throughout the entire world. And he is using you towards that end to spread his kingdom to every tribe, culture, nation, and land. The Bible says that we are kingdom citizens awaiting the day when we will reign with him in the new heaven and new earth. Yes, this promise is ours. We have a king to whom we submit. And we have a king that we can trust. We have a king who rules and reigns, and he does it for his glory and for our good. So do you understand what that means? That in what seems like someone else is in control of this world, when it seems like the evil one is winning, when it seems like things just aren't working out, when it seems like the rulers of this world just let you down time and time again, behold, you have a king and you are part of a better kingdom, an eternal kingdom, a kingdom that at the end of the day, when all other kingdoms shake down and lie in the dust, there will be one kingdom remaining, and that is the kingdom of your King Jesus. Wow, that will transform tomorrow morning when you pull up in the parking lot of a job you may or may not be excited to get out of the car and go into. Behold, you have a king, and he knows you, where you are and what you struggle with, and he is ruling and reigning, and he loves you. In fact, he has delivered you from the kingdom of darkness, Colossians chapter 1 says, and transferred us to a kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. Are you part of a king of that kingdom? Yes, in Christ. You come to Christ in faith. Yes, you are part of that. You are citizens of an eternal kingdom. Last one for this morning. We'll do some of the New Testament promises next week. Jeremiah chapter 29. You can turn there or just listen. God makes promises to his people in exile. I realize there's a lot of history that we're skipping over here. God's people find themselves in exile. Jeremiah chapter 29. And in exile, they're in exile because of their sin. But God meets sinners like you and me with promises. And that's pretty wild. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for your well-being and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. God meets sinners, even as they're dealing with the ramifications of their sin, the exile that they brought themselves into, that God put them in because of their discipline. So I'm going to make a promise to you. You ever feel like you're living in exile? God meets you with a promise, a future blessing that doesn't negate the present pain that you're walking through as you walk through a life of maybe feeling like you're in exile, dealing with the sinful world. This does not negate present pain, but present pain in your present situation does not negate future blessing either. The fact that we can't see the finish line does not mean that it does not exist. It just means we can't see it. And for people in exile, they might, I can't see, God, what you're doing, but he meets them with the promise and says, here's what I'm doing. And it's not for your destruction. This is to give you a future and a hope. For God says, I know the plans I have for you. Maybe someone needs to hear that this morning, that you don't know the plans that the Lord has for you and all the details of those plans and how those work out and how he works all things together for good, but you know that he has plans and he's blessed you. He's made you a part of a kingdom. He's promised to never leave you or forsake you. It's for a future and a hope. So I'm going to trust him. I can trust that king. I can trust him to execute his good plans in a wise in glorious way. I will bless you. I will bless you. I'll be with you. I'll make you part of a kingdom. And I will give you a future and a hope. All of this is yes and amen in Jesus Christ. So you know the application. Here's the response. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 20 and we'll stop. We'll end here. For every one of God's promises, and you just heard four of them, are yes always yes in Jesus. Therefore, through him, we also utter our amen to the glory of God. So what's your response this morning? The response of our lives will not be a grumbling no to the promises of God, but you notice what Paul says? So we utter in desperation and faith by grace, we utter, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'm clinging to your promises. I'm clinging to you. And so my life will not be self-pity and reclusive, no, but we will cling to God's promises. My life will not be loveless, but I'm going to cling to God's promises. In all of its afflictions, I will be radiant because I'm saying yes to the promises of God. Yes, you've blessed me. Yes, you're with me. Yes, I'm part of a kingdom. Yes, you have given me a future and a hope. And all of this is yes in Christ. My response to him every moment of every day. Gee whiz, Paul, does this really mean it transforms your travel plans? Absolutely. And I'm here to tell you this morning, this will transform your life if you will utter your yes and amen to Jesus Christ. Because I know this, that every sinner who comes to God in Christ, I know this because I am one, and I know this to be true in my own life, that every sinner who comes to God in Christ with all of his needs finds God coming to him in Christ with all of his promises. And so when a sinful person meets a holy God in Christ, what we hear is yes. Yes, you're blessed. Yes, I'm with you. Yes, you are part of this kingdom. And yes, you have a secure and hopeful future. And to live every moment, even the mundane, even your travel plans, to know yourself as a sinner who came to God in Christ with all of your baggage and all of your needs and found God coming to you and saying, yes, you are mine. That will transform your life. Let's pray.